Hello, and welcome to the Bardic Inspiration.
Over the past few episodes, we've talked about our various worlds and characters in relation to some of our stories and inspirational ideas. Today, we're going to talk about those exact characters, stories, and adventures.
All right. So who wants to begin?
I vote Jacob.
Okay, we're talking stories, right?
In general.
Yeah.
See, I don't have much experience, but if anything, I can start with for Daniel's world. I played Nara Cocker in Daniel's world. The most that I can take from what happened in that world was we were hopping from place to place with random mysterious object number one.
The orb, I think, is what he's referring to.
But all throughout this time, I put myself in the situation of being an Awakakura in your world where not many people know what I was.
Yeah, so the first part of the campaign that eventually ended up dying out because we had a significant player drop. I think about half the players either had to stop playing because of grades or work. So we had it was kind of a campaign drop where I was like, okay, you guys kind of completed a majority. Let's kind of like close off the campaign for now, and we can set up something later, maybe a little bit further in the future. Because I had other plans that I was slowly building up to, and then I was just like, well, forget it. You know, we have multiple players gone. Let's just start over. And that's how I started my second half. But in the first half, it was very interesting to have an Arakakra within the party because, like you said, it's a very rare race in general. And then within my campaign setting, there's two, maybe three places that they reside, mm-hmm. period.
And all the while, people staring up to the point where I finally gave in and decided to have a wizard study me and write a book.
Yeah, we needed a discount, and I negotiated for a deal where in exchange for sort of cutting the costs of everything, all the magic items that we were buying from this elf mage, in exchange, we were like, what if we give you our Eric Hocker for 3 days, and you can study him and ask him questions to write a book? Which we found out later in the second campaign that he did.
Yeah, Centelli made a great book, Arakakra and
Oh So Tired,
Tales of Arakakra, or Land of the Arakakra, I don't remember. But along the other parties, there was Risa, who was Elf Bard, played by Daniel.
Yeah, half Elf Bard, which was its own interesting bit also, because then I had to deal with, in your world, there was humans fighting elves.
Yeah, there was a human-elf war.
I forget how long ago, it was around the time, like, I was, like, born when it ended.
Yes.
Or shortly after. So it was still in recent memory, because it was within, like, 20 years of the campaign. Mm-hmm. I think I was 17, I don't remember.
You were 19.
19.
And the war had ended a year before.
Oh, okay, so like, yeah, so it was 20.
You were basically, or your character, rather, was basically the love child truce.
Yeah. And that was interesting just because, you know, humans didn't like elves, elves didn't like humans. Excuse me. And outside of people that knew who I was, they didn't really have a reason to like me if they didn't know who I was. Another example was Avon's third character, Michael. Because we were in the elven city, he was another half-elf, and he got, like, jumped, essentially, in the streets of Ilvesera.
Yeah, he got... Ilvesera being the name of my elven capital of one of my continents. They, basically, a bunch of nobles noticed that there were half-elves and kind of a semi-monstrous party walking around with the Arakakra and a half-orc. And
you were an odd group.
As most adventuring parties are. But they still have this somewhat hate towards humans. Some nobles do. And so a couple of the snobby rich kids basically ambushed Michael and regretted it later.
Yeah.
I want to talk about my character in the fact that she collected a very legendary...
First, who was your character?
Oh, yeah, my character was Sarenza, a tiefling female, Yeah, sorcerer.
Dragon line.
Who had collected a legendary item that was mentioned previously, a orb of dragon calling or something like that.
It's based off of the Dungeon Master's Guide Orb of Dragonkin.
Right.
With a few minor tweaks.
Minor?
No. So the major minor abilities were actually rolled for.
Oh, okay. On the DMG chart?
Yeah. There was the size, like the sizing difference of the orb was more for storyline. It represented, I have a whole storyline for that, but basically it was an eyeball size, like the size of a dragon's eyeball, which is still pretty big. It's like a softball.
Yeah.
But, I mean, even then it's still, yeah, you were right. It was a legend. It was actually an artifact. It's kind of screwed up the party because one of the abilities of this orb was that anything within 10 feet, if it had a challenge rating of 0 or if it was plant life, unawakened plant life, it would drop to 0 hit points immediately. So plants wilted almost to death where it only took like either druids or a very attentive caretaker to revive them. Or it basically dropped NPCs to 0. And you guys didn't realize this until the Dwarven City where people just started dropping for no reason.
Yeah.
And it ended up creating somewhat of a chaos within the Dwarven City that they're like, why is everyone falling down dead?
No, asleep. They weren't dead.
It was unconsciousness. It was basically they dropped to 0 hit points, but they remained stable.
Right.
And it was very interesting to describe it because eventually everyone figured out, or rather Serenza figured out personally, that it was people around her. Like, anyone who got healed came back around to her, so a bunch of clerics and paladins reacted to people falling unconscious from local, like, nearby churches and whatnot, and then the party's cleric as well, Gustra.
Bard.
And Bard helped, yeah.
I can't remember if I healed it. I don't think I was around at the point. I was going down below.
Yeah. So another thing with Arakakra is people don't like it when they can escape the law. So they didn't like it when they saw an Arakakra just flying around in their city. And they're all stuck to the surface of those ceilings and whatnot with lizards. And
silly dwarves.
Yeah. But anyway, so it was funny because I was describing like, oh yeah, people just keep passing out, you know, so on and so forth. And then a cleric ended up healing a mother and child. And then Serenza went over to go and help them get up and get them across the bridge, and they passed right back out. And that's when Serenza's like, oh crap, it's me. Or something I have, or...
Right.
Which I thought was a nice story roleplay.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I had to stay back and make sure that when they went into the Elven City that they didn't pass out. Well, they would have still dropped to 0. It's not a sleep effect, it's a... Because elves are immune to sleep.
Yeah, they're being dropped. They're being knocked unconscious.
So, anyway, that stone did make a reappearance in the next campaign, which all our characters up to that point had leveled up a great amount. I'm not sure
not
what level
too you... much. I think you guys leveled like once, because you guys leveled a second time by the time you guys got through the mansion.
No. You're talking about the later times. Second campaign takes like a year or two later, and our old characters level up.
Oh, yeah, your old characters did level
so
up significantly.
The orb appeared in Serenza's possession later on, and she gave it to my character once again. So
what I like to do is, because I'm running it still within my world, these other PCs are now NPCs in powerful positions.
Yeah.
Gustra is basically the right hand cleric or advisor to Risa, who is now the ruler of the human kingdom as a queen. Serenza is a powerful divination wizard / sorcerer that has taken over a mage tower that I can't get too far into because it would ruin storyline.
No, go on.
But basically, in a time of... I started the next campaign with a war... a different war. This one was odd because it was Goblinkin and Dragonkin working together. in order to assault this human kingdom. And the party eventually later learned that something in the city is being held from them. Basically, the big bad came by with a wyvern and said, get me my object or I'll destroy your city.
Right.
And they're like, I have no idea what he's talking about, until Serenda shows up and hands the most trustworthy looking and responsible-ish character, which happens to be Andrew's other character.
Let's just say Paladin.
Yeah. Basically, not all paladins are good.
That's true.
But basically gave the paladin the orb once more and said, take it away from here.
Right.
Just in case they assault the city. So now they have it in their possession, but they haven't been really within a NPC, dense. Like, no dense forest, no dense anything. Like, he hasn't gone, his character hasn't gone too far into the forest where it hasn't been chopped down already for the lumber camp. And you guys are going to pass into an area where it's just plains, which most of it is dead because of the goblin camp.
Oh, well, we did have that one, part where the NPC in the tavern did pass out. Commoner.
Yeah, when you guys liberated one of my cities called Kalemish.
Yeah.
It was an old, literal, intaker that wasn't his inn that they were currently residing in, but he was part of a resistance to try and take back their city. And, yeah, he just passed out as Toro walked by. And they're like, oh, I can't. And, you know, he tried to do lay on hands and realized, oh, it's not working? What? So it was kind of interesting to kind of introduce back the artifact. And I'm kind of curious what they're going to do with it from henceforward. Because it is still a prominent item within the storyline.
It was quite odd because I was like, I don't know what's going on. Oh, of course, because I've seen this before. How did I not realize this earlier?
And
so
Andrew, the player, realized Torl's still going, scratching his head, going, what the heck is going on?
Yeah.
He's like, I pray to my god every day. Like,
As we've mentioned, I'm Toril, the Dragonborn Paladin. Dan, you are playing a...
I'm an Eldritch Knight fighter named Arden, and I'm in full elf from that one.
I am a Yuan-Ti Paladin named Salitho.
Mm-hmm. Fang, which was from the previous campaign, came back with the same character, the player Riley. Came back, he's like, hey, I can play again. Yeah. I'm like, well, how do you feel about playing Fang still?
Half-orc
champion, yeah.
Yeah.
And then we have Nate, who was originally...
Tabaxi Rogue.
Yeah, Bard. Tabaxi Rogue...
Bard.
He was Bard. Yeah, he was Rogue Bard, he multi-classed.
Yeah.
Charlatan was what I was going to say, he had the dual identity.
Yeah.
He tried to claim to be royalty and then a bum at the other time.
Right.
Unfortunately, he died, and then one of our newer players was playing a elf assassin who also died during a big bad.
Dalen?
Yeah, Dalen. Now they've rolled up new characters, and one is an elf archaeologist, divination. And the other one...
Well, I thought he was an alchemist, or artificer.
He's an artificer...
Divination wizard.
Divination wizard, gotcha. Yes. And then the other one is another cleric, because you guys kind of needed healing.
Yeah.
He's a white dragonborn cleric.
Yeah.
Robert is.
And then Akali? Mello?
Akali.
Akali.
Because it sounds like Ecoli, yeah.
And then...
to me, I think Akali,
but
that's not...
Anyways... So that's kind of where my campaign is right now, is they're kind of assisting the efforts of the war of the Istrum City against these Goblinkin and Dragonkin. We have it on a partial break right now, a hiatus from the moment, because we kind of wanted to run some pre-gens, Prince of Apocalypse and Tomb of Annihilation. Party of Bards.
Yeah, let's talk about Party of Bards, why don't we? Because we actually are having one of those sessions today.
Oh, okay.
It started off, so...
Yeah, but we haven't gone too far into it, so nothing, major's happened.
Yeah, we started at the beginning of the year.
So, yes, I am running that campaign. The players all decided that they all wanted to be bards, and I decided to opt out and actually run the campaign. in which they all chose different types of bards for this campaign. They just made it to Chult. They are shopping, and then they are headed into the jungle.
We also fought a few undead, and we actually dispatched them relatively easily.
Yeah, a horde of undead started to attack the church, one of the five churches in Chult, or Port Nye and Zyra, and they went to aid in that fight. So hopefully we'll get through a quick shopping episode today and be into the jungle.
Are we shopping more?
Because we still haven't bought the actual jungle provisions of the rowboat.
We got the boat. We still need the insect repellent. Because we also got the water gachus.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. So we need the insect repellent. It's not that
bad. A few NPCs that they've met, they decided to buy a guide named Selena. And then they've met Volo, who... Volo Gadarm, for anyone that knows Forgotten Realms, as a very prominent historian. Volo's guide is named after him, and he helped them in aiding a meeting with all the main princes of Port Nye and Zyra. So they are on this shopping expedition after some dinosaur racing bets that they...
Some of us came out on top, some of us came out impossibly on top.
Yes. And some of us lied and cheated our way out of it to avoid paying because they were in debt.
That's what I meant. Impossibly on top.
This is going to be amazing in the future. So, how are you guys liking it so far? Your characters,
I like it just the fact that we're all bards, but we still all have different, like, even with the different classes and the races, we all still have different personalities. There's Daniel's character, who at least my character sees kind of somewhat cowardly. In a way, like,
really?
Because you have a retainer that you literally call him a meat shield.
Oh,
like, instead of going out into
Right, you're a Valor Bard.
Yeah, I'm a Valor Bard.
I'm a Glamour Bard. I got to keep my face pretty.
Yeah. Oh yeah, so Valor Bard for Dan.
Scars are pretty, damn it.
Daniel, Glamour Bard for Dan. Jacob, what kind of bard are you playing?
Sword,
and then we have the Whispers
and Satire.
Satire, and that's it. We don't have a lore bard in this party just yet.
For now. I was going to say, maybe.
I like that with the different classes, we also have different personalities. Like, Jake's bard is very down-to-earth, kind of serious. But he's also the drummer, so it's kind of, it makes sense.
Ba-dum-ching.
Ba-dum-ching. And then Makani,
wrong campaign.
Malachi is my tiefling valor bard, who I opted out of going dex high and went strength high.
that's good for armor class.
Yeah, not really. I'm learning that the hard way. Yeah. But it's it's interesting because I like how so. Malachi's name is The Fool, and I play it accordingly.
Yeah.
Serious when I need to be, but otherwise it's all pranks and games from here.
I love the fact that you guys are all making yourselves like the leader when you're discussing other people.
Yeah. So we have a running joke where any time we get into a conversation with an NPC... And because our party is, like, because they're all bards, and so they're all very charismatic, and they're all very, like, full of themselves, essentially. And we have a tendency to where when we're talking to someone, and we'll be like, as leader of this troop, I believe, and just continue from there. So we all at different times proclaim ourselves as the leader of the party.
Even to the same NPC 3 seconds after the first person just said, I am the leader. It happens, and it's glorious.
Yeah, it's great.
I was also thinking that with this campaign, we're all bards, so I'm kind of curious because we don't really have a full healer. We don't have a full meat shield. Well, we kind of do because we bought him, but it's...
Correction, I bought him. Yeah. You're welcome.
But what I mean is it's interesting because we're the jack of all trades.
Yep.
We're not going to excel at anything besides... talking her ass off.
We're going to be very average at everything we do.
I mean, you and me can fight pretty well. I can tank myself, all right?
Yeah, but I don't have healing magic because I plan on just fighting.
Yeah. I actually have really good healing ability.
Yeah. So even we still have somewhat focus, but we're not as good as, say, a cleric or a fighter.
Oh, yeah, no. Dan, like, if you put, like, a life domain cleric in the party, they'd be a lot better at healing
than that. Dan, you've claimed yourself as the healer of the party, haven't you?
I have, because I have multiple abilities, because I have the Inspiring Leader feat from the PHB. The Glamour Bard has, I don't offhandedly remember what it's called, but it's an ability where I expend a bardic inspiration and all my allies gain temporary HP and they can move as they need to, like,
closer
escape
to you.
And get out of trouble. Yeah, closer to me.
It has to be closer to you, and then it doesn't provoke opportunity.
Correct. Right? So it's like a good retreat mechanism, like reorganize ourselves if we get ambushed.
Or get everyone out of the way of an AoE spell.
Yeah, which I did.
Yeah.
Because I did it so that way I could shatter a bunch of skeletons.
Which was awesome.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
I'm curious on how we're going to continue forth, especially because now we're going to be in a jungle where there isn't a whole lot of people to talk our butts off, and we're just surviving at this point.
We're going to start persuading trees to just move.
Please, one of us get awakening at
commune with nature.
When we get to nine.
Yeah.
We'll have a tree companion.
Also, to note that they started at fifth level. And they're going to 10th level. So this campaign goes to 10th level. And we did a backstory, like, Session Zero campaign, where their characters had gone through the Yawning Portal adventures, 1 and 2, and then they made their way to Chult. So if they decide to continue this campaign, then they will most likely go back and continue with those adventures. That's an option, at least. So,
I do like that because it's this all in Forgotten Realms, you can literally throw any module at a level according. And
also, not literally.
You just take the book and throw it at your party.
Oh, yeah.
Just take the whole world.
Tomb of Horrors at 7th level. No, I'm kidding.
Alright, well, it was nice having you.
It was a good run. Glad that we got to talk. And,
all this time, it's not Tomb of Annihilation, it's Tomb of Horrors.
No, that's true.
We go through the temple, we get into Omu, which is what we're looking for, and we get up to the temple of which we're looking for.
And it is the Tomb of Horrors.
And it's the Tomb of Horrors.
Tomb of Annihilation.
Oh, boy. Hill in the middle of the city.
To be fair, if you had two options of going to a place called Tomb of Horrors or Tomb of Annihilation, personally, I would actually pick the one that says Tomb of Horrors, because that sounds less
deadly,
like it will kill me
less
instantly.
Permanent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes it sound more like a haunted house.
So,
but it's not.
Which, granted, it's not. It's actually more dangerous.
I'm looking forward to running these encounters and seeing how they do, and then, yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a rough and tumble time. So let's talk about Dan's campaign. What are we doing in that campaign? Let's first start off by saying what we are in that campaign.
Okay.
Why don't you, Jacob?
My name is Makani.
Mm-hmm.
I am an Erginasi monk.
Okay.
That happens to be very sticky fingered.
Shadow monk, right?
Shadow monk.
Yeah. Are you planning on multiclassing into thief eventually?
Eventually.
Rogue. Well, he said sticky fingers and made me think of thief.
Probably.
Yeah. Sticky bandits. Come along.
Beware of the 10-year-old children that barricade themselves in their homes.
And a
monster. I play Loki, who is a illusionist, a high elf illusionist, who is kind of trickstery, but we'll hold off until after character interaction.
Yeah, we'll. I play Shroud, a fallen Azamir cleric of death. Someone that I pulled from another campaign, but dumbed him down for, or leveled him down for this campaign. So it should be interesting as we get further into the campaign.
Are you going to do the same level progression? You said you leveled them down. Are you going to do the same level progression when you level back up?
Possibly. I don't know if I'll ever get him. Like, I have a plan to have him leave at some point, but we'll get
it. Oh, I thought you said you weren't doing that anymore.
Maybe. We'll see.
Fickle characters.
Right. In addition to the three of them, there's three others who we've all mentioned. Robert plays Eldaine, a female human paladin. Nate plays Kelvor Telfellow, a dragonborn fighter. I don't offhandedly remember what color he is. I know he's a metallic. And there is also Eustace, who is a half-elf wild magic sorcerer.
Yeah, I want to say he's bronze.
Yeah, something
like bronze. Bronze sounds right. I know it's not fire-based.
Yeah.
So probably is bronze. But yeah, so far the party has gone through a few different things. They started in the middle of a human kingdom that's, or a former, it used to be like an empire that spanned the continent, but it, over the last 100 years, fell apart, and the campaign began at the time that the country sort of started to rebuild itself, and people were once again kind of claiming positions of power and developing authority over the land. The party themselves started off escorting a dwarf merchant to a small elven village in a forest. Along the way, they ran into some goblinoids, and then later the party got requested to look for a group of elves that were missing, and ended up finding a gold dragon lair that got
green dragon lair. Your own campaign.
What did I say? Gold?
Gold.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. That would have been interesting. A gold dragon lair. Sorry. Green dragon lair. Thank you.
The gold dragons are evil now.
Yeah. Plot twist. The metallics are evil and the chromatics are good.
They want gold.
Confusing for people who come from elsewhere.
People will just go in and they'll be like, oh, it's a silver dragon. This will go fine. And they'll be like, why is it trying to kill us?
Why is it so hungry?
Right. So far, I mean, the party's been... They named themselves the Balance to kind of describe their variation of different positions of, like, their view of the world. Yes. Which has so far created a lot of, like, interesting semi-tense situations where members of the party do something and the rest of the party kind of doesn't quite know how to respond to that. And
yeah,
it's created a lot of just very interesting social environments. If you guys want to delve into any that you like or that are memorable to you.
So, at one point, we made it to a very prominent city named Norvden, I think?
Yeah, Norvden.
And we went to a gala, or a party, in which some of the party had an ulterior motive for going there. Some things that I really enjoyed about that. I really enjoyed the auction part that you kind of threw together that...
Oh, I didn't throw it together.
Okay, it was planned.
Yeah, I knew.
So we collected some magical items, such as a staff of healing, or the Efreeti bottle, or the ever smoking bottle that we've discussed in the genie episode.
Yeah.
But then some of the other party had to discuss with some of the members of the gala. That's Loki.
So Loki initially went in to the party. He heard rumors that one of his friends was in there. But he initially went to the party as more of a, hey, we're a group. We're an adventuring group.
We're an adventuring group known as the Balance.
Yeah.
Feel free to look us up.
Yeah. We're staying at the blah, blah, blah inn. And
You were a hype man.
Yeah. I was basically hyping us up. And then I saw my friend, like my background friend. And I was like, oh, hey, what are you doing here? Blah, blah, blah. And he's like, oh, we're here to steal an item. All right, I'll help you. And so it was all going good. I got past the door that was locked that they couldn't figure out how to open because I think it was magically locked.
Yes.
So I have a familiar named Rupert. He was an owl. That's his main form. And due to our interpretation, you don't have to see the spot in where you're summoning. So I summoned him on the opposite side of the door, approximately a foot away from the door, and he's on the ground, and I'm looking through his eyes as via the find familiar spell, and I see a couple dwarves, and I see the item we're supposed to steal. I also see that the window is, you know, just far enough away that it's not open or closed. Or it was closed. It was not open. So I mage-handed the door open while Rupert took the magical artifact and flew out the window. I was like, hey guys, I got it. In my... It's still blind and deaf. I just announced that, hey, I have it. Meet us on the roof, or meet Rupert on the roof, etc. And then I come out of my blind and darkness, and there was a freaking angel.
At the time, you believed he was just a very tall human cleric.
Yeah.
He actually was a diva in disguise.
Oh, diva.
It was is it diva or deva?
Either one.
Pick your poison.
We'll discuss anyways. It in another episode.
But he was in the corner, and he was like, so... And that's how I knew I was in trouble. And more or less, I got my friend out unscathed. I threw one of the other NPCs out the window and then levitated her down to the party, which, funny enough, they were looking for her.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we were looking for...
And then I'd like to think I successfully escaped from the Deva, but I gave myself up instead.
Yeah.
In hopes that it would get my friends to go... away, or my new friends, or more or less my actual background friend, not his fellow members. So I sat there and I accepted punishment and got arrested, got removed of all my magic items. But I also am a trickster, so I just lifted a freaking seed of what is it called?
Bag of beans.
Bag of beans, yeah. And I had a bag of sand due to my background items, and I asked for a cup of water, and basically I planted the seed, and something interesting happened beside the point. I didn't get out of jail because of it. I
spawned
stayed...
like a TARDIS tree
with yeah.
a
by the way,
inside.
Most awesome. Of the party was confused and
yeah,
raged.
I'm going to state this just because I found it hilarious. I tried to break you out because I didn't know your plan.
Oh, yeah.
I tried convincing you to let me help you, and you wouldn't let me help you. So I decided to hide in the cell next to yours and wait for the jailer to come by, do what he needs to do, and leave.
Mm-hmm. Didn't he have Busite or something?
He found me.
Yeah, he saw him. He's like, oh.
My stealth roll wasn't great.
Might as well join him and close the gate on you, too.
He closed me in.
it was an interesting encounter because it initially started as a hype man, and now everyone knows who we are. And now I'm
for
causing
better or worse.
Now I'm causing trouble. It's like, so they want to be an adventuring party, but they're stealing from high level nobles. Like, do we trust them? But eventually it got us through other NPCs. We did get out of that successfully by agreeing to complete a quest for this noble after returning the rod.
Yeah.
Much to my dismay. Because I went through all that trouble to steal it, and then like, oh, here, you can have it back.
I have a feeling I'm going to meet that noble once again sometime in the future, because he wanted to discuss things with me.
After we complete his personal mission, then, yeah. Yeah.
If we get there.
Yeah, so we eventually led off to another part of the story in which the Ifrit came into play, which was trying to liberate a city of its vampire-ish leader.
Mm-hmm.
And walked into a den of werewolves, Ifrit, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
Interesting battle.
Straight up Ravenloft style.
But the part that I like and hate the most about this campaign right now is I prepared a background character willing to, like... Because I like to do that. I like character
backup
creation.
Character.
I always like having a backup character in case, you know, it dies or... It allows me to play a little more freely instead of just only defensively. Which is good if you want to play that character, but I don't usually, especially with trickster kind of characters. They have to be bold. They have to be on-the-spot inventive. Anyways, I threw a one-shot item created by Daniel, summoned a coven of sea hags to save my friends from death and banish the Ifrit who turned on us. Ifrit, who turned on us. Sacrificed my magic, meaning... Without the object they gave to me, which was a sapphire, if I remember correctly, I cannot cast spells as a pure illusionist, wizard, not cast spells without this object. And that's where we left it before we went on hiatus for these modules. So the reason I hate it is because it's like, wait, I was willing to sacrifice, like, retire the character and be like, oh, okay, well, he doesn't have magic, he'll just be a teacher.
Now you're on standstill.
Now I'm standstill, and he's kind of caught in this idea of like, well, do I believe them? They're a bunch of sea hags. Do I test the limits? Do I crush the sapphire and still retire the character? Like, he said, basically, I can keep my character. I'm like, okay, that's not what I had planned. I don't know what to do now. And then we went on hiatus.
You are a very lowly powered person now.
Oh, no, I still retain all my power. It's just, I can't do it without
sense. But effectively, if the hags are telling the truth, is dependent on keeping a sapphire on his person.
Until they have their...
Until they either decide to sever that link. Or, yeah, essentially, yeah, it acts as an arcane focus in a sense. Yeah.
What if, like, Dan says that you can't retire the character and you are without magic? What are you going to do? Are you going to multi-class into something else?
That would be difficult because basically I would lose out on, what is it, 7 levels of a class that is purely magic.
Yeah.
There's nothing I can do with that class. So
become a fighter.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying, though.
Intelligent fighter.
Basically, it would nerf my character, so it would be very interesting to play. Oh, crap. Well, I have to figure out something else, something new. And he does have high dex, so I could go into archery or the like. But it would be an interesting play that, okay, I've lost all my magic. Well, first off, I need to find magic now and some way to cast it so I can regain all 7 levels of my wizard back. And then the other is like, okay, well, now I'm multiclassing a character that I initially did not plan to multiclass, but that's how I like doing characters too. So I like evolving the character with the story rather than having a 1 through 20
plan. Like a pre-made Excel sheet.
You need to find a bag of pearls of power.
You just have 3 rings of spell storing on your person at all times.
But who's going to cast the spells into it?
The rest of the party.
Yeah.
Basically, I'm an illusionist with cleric spells.
Cleric and paladin.
So I would like to talk about Cedric and that campaign now, because it's... We talk about it, we reference a lot, you've run a lot of high-level monsters that I don't think we should have survived, but somehow did.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it be Daniel and the separate dragon, red dragon with 2 characters, was it? An adult red dragon defeated.
Oh, like, yeah, we killed him with 2 characters.
Yeah.
Or the ice dragon fight, or ice dragon, the white dragon fight, in which essentially you kind of messed up yourself, but it was still a really difficult battle. And it got rid of a roof, so it removed one of the lair abilities. Because you can't have icicles fall from not a roof.
Right.
But at the same time, it, like, we had one character who nearly sacrificed himself. We had other characters who, like, Cedric was a cleric, but he was a very martial cleric for a fire. And so he gets downed a lot for being a cleric. And I liked that campaign, but then we had to retire it because of the Mind Flayer incident.
You didn't have to. You chose
to. We chose to.
It made more sense for Cedric and Gideon to retire.
We're the only surviving members of the original party.
Well,
no, Trini too, but
Trini had to retire because the player retired from the campaign.
Right.
But Moon was the 3rd survivor.
Oh, yeah.
Like the player survivors.
Right.
And then there was the dwarf.
So, yes.
We blame the dwarf.
I have a tendency to throw higher level monsters at the party because it's storyline. That's where they would come in.
Oh,
I don't dumb down the creatures, but there are definitely times where I've totally forgot about abilities, such as the last fight was the dragon sphere. Dragon fear.
Draconic frightful presence.
Yeah, frightful presence. So yeah, I am very surprised that you guys made it to that level in which you did, which was, I believe, 9th at that point. And then we restarted at 7th. So it's fun. I really enjoyed that campaign. I think one of the very first monsters was a Yonti Malasan.
Uh-huh. First monster we saw and fought was the centaur.
Oh, well, okay. But, like, the big boss. I'm talking about was a Malison.
Yeah, sort of. Yeah.
Okay. Which you guys instantly killed, as we've previously stated.
We didn't kill him. We just defeated the boss, quotations. Because the way that his curse had worked, and because I had prayer beads with greater restoration, which restores curses, it essentially got rid of his curse of being a Yanti. Force Gnome.
It was a Force Gnome.
I liked the fact that, like, our first encounter, I'm like, I want to grapple the centaur.
And then...
What?
And then you
I want to jump from my horse onto the back of the centaur and then put him in a sleeper hold with his human top while riding his horse top.
Bet. What?
So Cedric was riding... We were all on horseback. And centaur attacked us. We had no communication. So Cedric jumped off of his horse onto the centaur's back, the horse part, and then put his human half, his human torso, into a sleeper hold and basically got him to calm down somewhat.
Somewhat.
But I think I was thrown or... Oh, I think a forest gnome came out and said, no, you need to stop. They're all safe. We're all good. Yeah. It wasn't them that started the fire of the forest.
The sister of the gnome that you had just...
Which was the whole reason the centaur attacked us, because we thought we were starting the forest fires.
Yeah.
Being a light cleric, I could see where that coming confusing too.
But... And then you guys went off to face giants.
Yeah.
Frost giants.
Giants and dragons and...
I'm not going to, like, level the encounters to your guys' level. You guys are going to face higher leveled people, as you've noticed with... you and made the decision not to face the dragon this last encounter, which the Dragon Slayer sword... The person with the Dragon Slayer sword decided to go off and do something else.
To be fair, the dragon was also flying.
It was, but he was also flying.
And he was not... No, he lost concentration.
Hmm.
Yeah. And I was trying to take out the bigger threat. The way that my character is he's a soldier.
Yeah.
Take out the boss or the bigger threat, everyone else will flee.
You do realize that he was doing passive... abilities to you guys, right? He didn't do direct damage to you
guys.
All
I know is that he was casting...
Made you sleep.
And fall. And take damage.
Which was...
He was casting spells that neither one of us... None of the party could combat. And so it was that threat danger that was like, okay, well, let's take out the glass cannon. Or at least I thought it was a glass cannon.
So
let's take out the glass cannon and then we can all focus on the dragon itself. And that's not what ended up happening. We had so many characters just fall from Dragon's Fire and the like that I think this is the first time that I remember in any campaign retreating. Where it was like to the point where it was like, we need to leave.
Yeah. Well, you were banished, so...
Two of us really, really wanted to chase after them. We could have caught up to them easily with a fly spell.
But you were also out of spell slots. You were down health.
I died.
One died.
Yeah.
Let me explain the campaign so far. Throughout Kratos...
That's his world.
That is my world. The gates of hell are opening up, which are releasing devils of all sorts into the world. It is the jobs of the players to go close those gates by defeating the gatekeepers and then finally finding the main key master, which they did encounter him, but he banished one character and had the dragon kill another character. So
yes, he banished the warlock with a high charisma because I rolled like crap that day.
Yep. So I'm looking forward to the next few sessions. Because we are introducing a new character
a character from a prior campaign coming back into that one. Yeah.
And then seeing how things are happening. So we have currently a warlock.
So first level fighter, a very martial warlock, I should say.
Mm-hmm. Pact of the Blade.
Pact of the Blade, fiendish patron. And then part of that pact, I received a dragon slaying sword, so that's why everyone's like, why didn't you go after the dragon? I'm like, that's not the bigger threat, and my character goes blindly after that which is more threatening, kind of. Yeah. Like, he goes blindly after his enemies. Yeah, so he's a very martial character that he's a bronze dragonborn.
Yeah. Named?
A Nemonis Aki.
Yep. All right, and then we have a tiefling druid, moon druid, who has switched her circle already in the campaign.
Named Penalty.
Named Penalty. And then we have a homebrew race, Rhinox, which is a rhino-like humanoid paladin barbarian, who has decided after that dragon fight to switch allegiances.
He's basically forsaken his paladin oath now. His name is Durendil.
Durendil. And then we have Misty, who is a water genasi sorcerer. Sorceress. Who is Storms.
Formerly, I was playing Cassius, who was a penguin arakakra, druid of the shepherd.
Penguin?
Yeah, penguin arakakra. It was some fun stuff. We added edited and everything to make it work.
Nice.
Pretty short?
Yeah, he was 4 foot eight.
Yeah, he was a king.
4 foot nine. Yeah, he was like emperor an emperor king. Penguin.
Okay.
Yeah, emperor king.
Emperor king. Emperor penguin.
Emperor king, lord the leader.
He perished in the dragon fight. He turned into a Kentucky Fried Penguin. And then I am now bringing back a character named Kelvic, who is a half-orc fighter.
Who was previously human from that?
No, he was originally a half-orc, became human, ended up becoming a half-orc again.
Right.
Reincarnation spells are tricky.
Yep.
All right, I think that'll do it for this episode. Thank you for listening, and until next time.
Thank you for staying at the Bardic Inn. If you would like to hear more, we will be uploading new content Thursdays at noon PST on
iTunes, YouTube, CastBox, and Podbean.
If you have any recommendations on future content, you can leave a comment on these various platforms, or you can contact us on Twitter at the Bardic Inn, or on Facebook at facebook.com/Bardic Inn.
We're your local bards.
Daniel.
Andrew.
Dev.
And Jake.
Be inspired.